You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show. My name is Charles Rose Jr., and we focus on breaking through limitations and barriers to get you to that next level of investing. With me is my amazing co-host, William Palmer. And in today's episode, our guest will be talking about how she went from being an active duty officer in the U.S. Air Force to becoming a real estate investor and one of the top real estate agents in her area.
That's right, Charles. And she'll also share why she started investing in real estate and some of the hurdles to starting her own real estate brokerage in multiple locations. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show, where we guide you to financial freedom and break barriers in your investing to give you the secrets to success. And now, here are your hosts, Charles Rose Jr. and William Palmer.
William, what's up, man? How you doing today, brother?
I'm doing great, Charles. Really appreciate you having me on once again. And yeah, super looking forward to today's interview. Going to be very, very interesting from the realtor side, from the investor side, from also doing this while on active duty. It's very, very interesting. Very curious to hear how all this worked and how the timing and everything worked out for that. So absolutely going to be a great interview.
Man, I'm super excited for it too. You know, I got the great honor of serving with her, not in the Army, but at Lincoln. She was one of our star volunteers and team members and helped us, you know, in our planning meetings. So she's such a helpful person, a giving person, and is very great at what she does. So I'm super excited to introduce today's guest, man. So for those of you who don't know our guest, is a 10-year active duty Air Force vet. She separated at the rank of Major 04 as a net worth millionaire. She is a real estate investor with 7 doors and 6 properties. And she left her W-2 to become a real estate agent, making 2 times her major pay. She enjoys helping other agents increase their income. And guess what? She is the host of 2 podcasts, Investify and The Agent Goldmine. Our today's guest is just so phenomenal. She has a crew of over 40 agents in almost two different countries. And so, man, William, if I ever wanted to become a real estate agent, I would definitely want to join her team. But of course, if she lets me in, you know, I don't know if she let me in, but you know, I think I would be on her team. Just
maybe if she was starting one up in the Dominican, Charles, since she spent so much time there.
Hey, that's where I'm at. You know what? We're going to have to use this episode to kind of like maybe plan the opening of the Dominican Republic office.
Hey, just send me an invite. I'll be there.
There you go. We both can be real estate agents, right? Only if she lets us in though, William. Right?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a little bit of a criteria. It might stop somewhere.
I hear that, man. Well, ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome today's guest, Ali Garson. Ali, what's up?
What's up, Charles? William, thank you so much for having me on. I am pumped.
Oh, awesome. I love it. I love your energy always, Ali. And by the way, I love the shirt that you're wearing. It is so awesome. We're both wearing the same shirt. William's going to have his soon. Right, William?
Yep, pretty soon. I might have to just give Dustin a text or something, get him to send me one.
Yes, that's an action item. That's your action item. You got to make that happen, man. So Ali, it's super excited to have you on the show, and we are so thankful for you to agree to do this. We're excited. So Ali, our guests, they're going to want to know more about you and your journey. So tell us more about your investing journey and what initially made you want to do it.
I stumbled into real estate investing like a lot of people do. To make a long story short, I had been renting out an apartment when I was stationed in Colorado Springs. So at this point, I had been in the Air Force for about 3 years and I was renting in what I was told was a great neighborhood. And it was for the most part, but there were crazies everywhere. And I had a crazy neighbor who I think something was wrong with her. I was starting to receive like feces on my door every single day. I didn't know who it was coming from. And I had no help from the apartment complex. So after I realized the very little help, even though they paid for security and they advertised that as, hey, this is security for everyone. And I was like, hey, well, can we get a little bit more security as to where I am? Because I don't feel safe here living here anymore. And they said, oh no, the security is for the pool to make sure that no one goes into the pool after hours. I said, okay, maybe the apartment complex is not for me. I need more autonomy over my land. You know, I want peace and privacy. So I ended up taking that lady to court and we got a permanent restraining order against her. But the point is, crazies can live everywhere. And that's where I stumbled into purchasing something. Because up until then, I hadn't really considered purchasing. I was fine renting, doing my thing, especially since with the military, I'm going to only be staying there for 2 years. Really, on average, with my background, I moved 8 times in my 10 years. So I was moving every, you know, year, maybe year and change. So I was like, what's the point of buying? You know, I don't want to, at the time, I was like, what's the point of buying? Once I purchased that first, it was a condo, Colorado Springs, 2 bed, 2 bath. And then I immediately deployed to Afghanistan. So I had to rent it out. Like I got short notice deployment orders. And I was like, you know what? I will go. Not that I have a choice in deploying, but yeah, I will willingly go because I think I'm going to feel safer in Afghanistan than I do in the neighborhood that I was living in Colorado Springs. So I used the VA loan. That was my first introduction to real estate investing, was using the VA loan, zero down. That doesn't mean zero out of pocket because the funding fee of the VA loan is actually kind of expensive, especially if you use it the second time. So that was my first like introduction. And then it kind of just snowballed from there. And now we have, what did you say again? We have seven. I always mess this up, the 6 and 7. We have all single families, one duplex.
Yeah. Yeah. 7 doors, yeah. 6 properties.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah,
I love it. That's so awesome. And you know, how you went through that journey in the military and like, you know, by accident, right? Or kind of stumble into it. That's so cool. What a good thing to stumble into, right?
Yeah. And it was really nice not waking up to feces every day.
That, you know, we're laughing now, but, you know, probably like when it was happening, like it was probably like making you really angry, you know?
Yes. And more so I was scared. Because I lived alone, you know, and I was a federal agent for the Air Force. So I immediately thought it was one of the subjects that I was investigating, you know, like because that's what we did every single day was just talk to subjects, witnesses, and victims. So I was like, it has to be somebody that I'm investigating. And somehow they found out where I live. So I was pretty scared, even though I work with a gun on my hip, you know? So, but with that, you know, it was, I'm just glad to have gotten out of there. And I am thankful for that experience now, looking back, that I can, you know, we can all laugh at it now because that's what catapulted my need to buy, like my need for autonomy more over like my piece of land, you know, like just I wanted to, because the apartment complex, I set up cameras on the outside because they weren't going to be helping me. So, but they also said that they might fine me for that. And I was like, this is ridiculous. I should be able to set up, I should be able to feel safe where I live. So, yeah, that's what catapulted me into like just buying more. And overall, fast forward to toward the end of my Air Force career, I just needed more autonomy over where I wanted to live in general, not just apartment versus house, but what state, what city do I want to live in? I want to choose. I just want more autonomy over my life. So that's where I was like, let me just invest as much as I can. And that's how I was able to separate as a net worth millionaire.
That's awesome. Talk about that journey a little bit more with, you know, how you got the next one and the next one. Because it seems like the first property was like, okay, you stumble into it. And like, when did that light bulb come on? Like, you know, I could use this to, you know, to increase my net worth, to create wealth. What was that process like for the other properties?
Yeah. So after I purchased the first one, I immediately deployed. And when you deploy, you get more income, you know, like hazard duty pay, the combat pay. So I had more income. And again, it's just me. And I already rented out that property, which is totally legit, by the way. You know, I intended to move in and then the military deployed me. So I checked with my lender. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to go to prison for stuff that I investigate, you know? Yeah. So after I started getting the income from the tenant, which was break even. Well, I was making I was in the green $58 a month, basically nothing, you know, like
$58.50.
Yeah, and 4 cents. So it was pretty much break even. So it wasn't like at that point, the cash flow, that wasn't anything that like really drew me to investing. What did draw me to purchase more and more was the appreciation. And there is luck that played into that. You know, I purchased in 2016 in a good market, Colorado Springs. After pretty much looking, like fast forwarding 2 years later is when I purchased my next property. I realized that that property that condo in Colorado Springs, I purchased it for $160 was wow. At that point worth, yeah, at that point it was worth $220. Sorry, wow. $320. Wow. It doubled.
2 years later.
2 years later, it doubled. Wow. So at that point, I was like, wait, even if I had made $250 in cash flow every month, that would never compare to $150,000 in equity in 2 years. So that's where I thought I was going to do the full 20 years. So I was like, you know what? Let me just focus on appreciation. That's where I can get the biggest bang for my buck anyway, as opposed to, you know, I don't need the cash flow at the time. Fast forward later, I wanted to leave the military. I since then have left. So with the appreciation, that's where I was like, yeah, I want to do this again. So 2 years later, maybe really like 2.5 years later is when I ended up purchasing my next property, VA loan, single family here in Tucson, Arizona. And that's where I say that funding fee was quite a bit, but it still helps with a zero down payment, and moved in. Later, about a year after, I moved out, rented that place out. And then at that point, I have almost maxed out my VA entitlement. So then I had been continuing to invest in like my TSP and just stocks in general. So that's where that fund that had, you know, kicked up from when I first joined the military, 2012, I was able to use the index funds to be able to pay for the next couple of properties.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Just how you went from one property to the next. And, you know, it's amazing to hear your story, how you got started. Because, you know, we hear a lot of people that invest with cash flow, and William and I invest with cash flow as well, too. But, you know, that's not the only way to invest. And we know it, right? And it's a really, really good case where you invested for appreciation and was able to become a net millionaire through it all. So that's phenomenal hearing that.
So Ali, what's the thing that you kind of had to overcome, that you had to break through, like mentality wise? What did you have to, is there any kind of challenge that you came across after that first property and you were like, hey, I want to actually get into this maybe for some cash flow? What's the thing that you had to kind of push past to get to where you're at now?
There were a couple of things. The first thing I would say is when I was purchasing my third property, it was going to be in a location that I had already been stationed in, which was Oklahoma. So, and I was living here in Tucson, and then COVID hit. And, you know, originally I thought I was going to either fly out there or drive out there, just take a look at the property before I went under contract, meet the inspector there. And then COVID hit and military members were restricted from all movement. So even if I wanted to go out there and take the chance with COVID, I couldn't. Mm-hmm. So at that point, my hands were tied and I was still under contract. And so I don't know why that was such a big mental hurdle for me. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I can't go out there. I am a little bit nervous about this. My third property, first one being sight unseen and out of state, you know, just conventional 20% down. But at that point, like what helped me was I spoke to the inspector over the phone, and the fact that a lender is even willing to lend on it, majority of it, you know, I'm only putting 20%. That's my skin in the game. Their skin in the game is the other 80%. I'm like, chances are there is a house that is standing, and those photos probably represent the actual house, being that I got a third party inspector. I didn't go with, you know, anyone else's inspector. I hired my own. So I'm like, hey, plus if I were to go out there, what the heck am I going to do? I don't even know what a screw looks like. You know, like how I'd have no foundation, no background in construction. How am I just look at, see, you know, like I, like what was I going to do anyway? So that really helped me. Like the fact that I couldn't fly out there, that helped me a lot with like, hey, I don't even need to be out there. It really is not that big of a deal. So to this day, I've only driven past it like once. I was like, oh wait, this is my house.
Yeah, I tell people the first one I ever bought, the only way that I know that I actually own it, besides the fact that I get cash flow from it, is the fact that on Google Maps, the outside of it went from white to blue. And I remember that because the contractor was like, hey, we want to paint the outside. We got a ton of blue paint. We could give you a discount on the price so we don't have to get extra material. And I was like, absolutely. And so Google Pictures 1 year is this, and then it changed to blue.
That's so cool. And it's so I take it that you have a property manager, you have a whole team in place. Like, talk more about that. How important do you think it is for breakthrough investors to have a team in place? I know you're big on teams.
Yeah, I'm huge on teams. Teams are everything. And once you have a good team, like, just keep going, you know, keep investing in that area if you have a good team. So with that third purchase, conventional in outside of Oklahoma City, I went with a turnkey property, like a turnkey management. And I know that, like, so I was not doing it for any sort of, you know, there's not a lot of meat left over on the bone there, like, at all. But I did a lot of research on the turnkey property management companies. At the time in the military, I was traveling. I was gone out of the US 200 days out of the year. So I did not have time to do any sort of direct to seller, you know, marketing, mails, phone calls, nor did I want to. I tried it for a week and I was like, F this is not for me. No. So I was like, you know what? Let me just, I would rather pay someone else to do that heavy lifting for me. And then just pick which house I want. So I interviewed and I researched a ton on the turnkey property management companies. And so that I ended up choosing one that was out there in a couple of cities, but that one, they had a house in Oklahoma City, which is a city that I've lived near. So I know, you know, there's a big military presence there, that there's more than one like economic driver to that state. So that's what made me feel comfortable with that. Plus I hired, of course, they pushed their own inspection company. I said, no, I'll hire my own, of course, at my cost. And so it wasn't really for cash flow, because at the time I thought I was going to stay in the military. I was doing this again, just to put extra cash away somewhere that was more productive and a little bit different than what I had been doing, which was just stocks, like just index funds.
And Ali, and how and when did you transition into being a real estate agent? Like, what was that journey like, you know, from starting in the military and stumbling into the real estate and then finally, you know, you got into being a real estate agent and completely crushing it in the industry. Talk more about that journey.
Man, this was... So with the military, as an officer, you kind of hang on until you want to let go, but they'll get you in the fact that they'll move you very often. So you are committed to a couple of years after they move you to pay back the government for the cost of moving. So, and because I was moving so often, I always had a commitment. And like, pretty much, I just got fed up with having a boss, with not having autonomy over where I got to live. I never wanted to move to Tucson. I actually found a replacement for me and they said, no, we want you. And I was like, well, I don't know why. I can't speak Spanish yet. You're sending me to South America, but okay, she does. But sure, let's go with me. So I just, you know, traveling so much, like the job that I was in, traveling solo, you know, 200 days out of the year, South America, speaking counterintelligence. I couldn't even say the word counterintelligence in Spanish. I was like, this is so inefficient. Like, the inefficiency of such a big organization, any big organization, the DOD, you know, Air Force, whatever. At that point in my mind, I had made up that I'm going to leave. At some point, I'm not going to be doing the full 20 years, just because I felt the, you know, the golden handcuffs, and I was making, you know, six figures as a captain. And then I made major and I was making like 120, something like that, which was nice for Tucson. But also, so therefore, like, that was another mental hurdle that I had. You know, I'm making $122,000 as a major. You know, how am I going to make the same being here, staying in Tucson, only because my wife is still Air Force, so I had to stay. You know, Tucson doesn't really offer, you know, crazy, I say quote unquote crazy incomes like that. Like, 122 for Tucson is kind of crazy. So I was looking at other career fields and everything else. The typical stepping stone is like going to the FBI or maybe the CIA, but you all have to start at just 9, huge pay cut. And again, no autonomy over my life, no autonomy over where I get to choose to live. They pick that for me. That's defeats the purpose of leaving the military. So I knew that I wanted to work for myself, but I didn't know what. I was thinking about everything. Like, should I, you know, one time I was a lifeguard when I was 15. Should I open up a swim instruction class? Should I just babysit, even though I'm not even a fan of kids? Should I, you know, I was thinking of everything. Like, what could I do so I don't have to work for anybody else anymore? And my wife in the background, she was like, hey, I think you might like real estate. And I was like, no, not for me. I don't want to be an agent. She was like, no, I think you might like it. So for 2 years, she was telling me that. And I was like, no, real estate agents, they're all bimbos. They all get paid way too much to do what they do. And I don't really want to be associated with like a salesy type of person. I'm not, that's not me. And then I started listening to podcasts to see like, what are the struggles that real estate agents are facing? What is their day-to-day like? And so I listened to podcasts and I realized that I actually do like their struggles. I resonated with that. I felt like I could be better than a lot of agents. So I decided to get my license while I was still active duty. My last year of active duty, I had my license and I was doing 2 full-time jobs. So at that point, once I met, all I wanted to do was just match my military income, my $122,000. I just wanted to match that. And I made that by month 8 of me being an agent, brand new agent, solo.
Wow.
Yeah. And so after that, I was like, and this was still me being a part-time agent. I was like, I think I got this. I think I now know I can leave the Air Force and not have any regrets. So that's my goal, is like always to like never have any regrets and just like work my butt off. And I love it. I love it. I found out that this is a whole business. It's not just opening doors. I don't have to wear high heels. I don't have to dress up, you know?
Yeah. My favorite real estate investor or my favorite real estate agents are the guys that show up in Carhartts and boots.
Yeah.
What about the ones who show up in swim shorts and t-shirt?
Well, not in this area, you can. You're going to go walk to where I live.
Maybe in the Dominican Republic, right?
Maybe so. Hey, we'll start that branch up. I might be
there. Seriously. Hey, William, if Ali lets us start the branch here, I think, you know, we'll be like doing deals in like t-shirt and shorts and flip-flops, right?
We bring it back, Magnum PI.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. But that's what I'm wearing right now, shorts and flip-flops because of the weather. But on a serious note, Ali, I'm so impressed like what you've built with your team. I mean, you've built it up to 40 real estate agents in 2 countries. What was that process like? And then also too, do y'all focus more on first-time home buyers or a mixture of investors? Tell us more about the process of starting the team and doing it in 2 countries.
Yeah. So that's the power of the brokerage that I joined. I joined eXp Realty because it's a virtual brokerage. Therefore, knowing that at some point I'm moving out of Tucson, I didn't have to find a new franchise, you know, a new office, get a feel for the new culture, anything like that. I very much so am like, I can work solo. You know, I work from home. This is my home office and I love it, you know? So knowing that I could just pick up and continue working out of Tucson, wherever I lived in the world, I can go to the Dominican Republic and still sell homes in Tucson. That's what I really liked. Plus, it was the least amount of like boss figures that I felt that I had when I was interviewing around for different brokerages. A lot of them made me feel like I was going back into the military. You know what? Even less, you know, like the amount of restrictions that they already started placing on me before I even worked for them. I was like, I don't think you know who I am. I was like, this is not going to work. They're like, yeah, okay, you get into the office 8 a.m. and you're going to make these phone calls and we're going to like watch you. I was like, okay, I know how to make phone calls. You know, like I interview for a living. So no, but I can see how that's what a lot of new agents might need. Real estate agents might need. But so this is where I felt I had the most autonomy over my business. I can choose my own branding. I can work wherever I wanted to. So because my biggest clientele were other military members and they're always moving, it's pretty much always PCS season. I at one point had too many leads to handle. I was not like, I never wanted to get to the point where I wasn't able to give the level of service that I gave to, you know, one client, everyone gets it, you know? So I had my checklist, how to work a buyer from start to finish, how to work a seller from start to finish. So that way you can go to sleep and never wake up in the middle of the night thinking, oh my God, I never sent that form, which happens, you know, like, so like you build that checklist out and you have it for life. I mean, you tweak it a little bit as forms change, but I had the foundation. Now I just needed extra manpower to help me with all the clients that I had. So that's how I started growing the team. I never even thought about, you know, starting a team. And when I say team, no team splits. I literally give you the checklist. I help you how to even find your own seller clients, your own buyer clients. And then I give you the framework, the canned emails, 1 through 6, taking the sellers through the process, 1 through 6, taking the buyers through the process. So that way they're not asking the same questions like, hey, what happens next? You've already told them. So you answer their questions before they even have it. So that's like my motto. So that's how I ended up growing the crew. I'm like, hey, I'm giving out the free resources at no team split. It's a no-brainer, like literal no-brainer. You just have to join me. So that's how we've grown into now. I think we're in like 20 different states, and the US and Portugal. There was someone that heard me out in a podcast and was like, hey, I want your checklist. I want to join your team. I'm switching to EXP. I'm like, let's go.
That's awesome.
That's phenomenal. Oh my gosh. I love it. And just how, I think one of the key things you mentioned is you have checklists, or some people call those SOPs, standard operation procedures. And that, I think that's a key thing too, because, you know, William, as some of our investors who's listening, as they're breaking into that next level, as they're scaling and growing, a part of the breakthrough is building teams. And so I think this is a good note to take from Ali on a way you can effectively do that, you know, creating those checklists and systems where, like you said, you know, it answers all of the questions before they even have them. And if they have questions after that, you know, it's probably fewer questions, right? Or less questions, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Again, Charles, you know this, systems and procedures, I'm not good at making them, but I'm really good at following them. So I can follow a system and a procedure if I have a checklist, but making the checklist for me is not a strong suit. I actually like it when all the checklists are given to me and then I just got to follow it. So I could really see how other people like hear that and they say, oh, I want to go do that, because to them, certain personalities and just me personally, that is such a headache for me to even think about trying to build it. But if it's already in place, I don't like recreating a wheel. So I'd rather just have it there and be able to go do that. So I can definitely see why a bunch of people were like, hey, I want to do this. And yeah, I mean, the fact that you go to another country, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
For sure. That's awesome. I think that's huge in how you were successful. And Ali, I look at Europe. You're a host of 2 different podcasts. How did that happen?
What's funny is like, since I've become a host of 2 podcasts, I've since then been asked to be a host of 2 others. I'm like, I need to eat, guys. I need to sleep. But I love it. So the first podcast that I was a co-host of, the Investify podcast, that's with Craig Kurlop. He's a Bigger Pockets published author, a friend of mine. We met at Bigger Pockets like a couple of years ago, stayed in touch, and his other co-host left to do bigger and better things. And so he asked me, and I was like, oh my gosh, yes, I would love to, you know, like talk real estate all day. Heck yeah. So that's how that started. I've been a co-host for Investify almost a year, maybe a year. Yeah, at this point. And then that's for like in real estate investing. And then the other podcast is The Agent Goldmine, where we interview real estate agents, like specifically, how are you killing it in your business? Like, and we dive deep into one specific topic, whether it's like Instagram or seller presentations or whatever it is. We interview top real estate agents there as more of like a value proposition also for our agents. Like, hey, that question was answered. You're struggling with social media. We have 3 episodes on social media, plus all of our training that we have. So,
That's fantastic.
That is. And William, what I love about Ali, like she just loves to give back and share. You know, as I mentioned, she volunteered at the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference, and I'm sure she does so many other things. So that's awesome. I encourage every one of you listening to definitely check out Ali's podcast, because you're going to get some good value from it. So thank you so much for sharing that. And so, Ali, you know, one of the big things that we're trying to do is we're trying to help investors, as we mentioned over and over again, break through that next level. And sometimes it can be a challenge. Sometimes it can be tough. You know, what would be your biggest advice you would give someone trying to be a breakthrough investor, you know, beyond just getting started? What would be your biggest advice to them?
As I've spoken to a lot of successful people, I feel like there are 2 different types of mentalities when it comes to mentally breaking through. I think that there are those that need to take action first, and then, you know, like they buy a house and then they're an investor. And then the other type of person is they need to tell themselves first that they're an investor, and then that leads them to buy a house. And I feel like a lot of people that we interview on podcasts are more so the action, like the, I am an investor and then they buy, but that's not me. Like I know myself, I need to have action behind my words before I mentally can tell myself. And there is no right or wrong, whichever one works for you. I just realized that there are two people, like when they can just tell themselves that they're an investor and then boom, they believe it, which is so great. That's not me. I needed to buy a couple of properties. And then I was like, okay, you know what? I think I'm an investor now because I have my track record. So whichever one you are, and you know which one you are, like down to the core, you know, like it. And the simple question to figure out which one it is if you have not purchased a property yet, do you consider yourself an investor? Because if you do, then excellent. Like take that momentum of like, hey, you are an investor, and then use that to purchase a house. But if you haven't purchased a property and yet you don't consider yourself an investor, then you need to take the action first, and then the label will come second. Either way, again, there's no right or wrong, but that's I think my biggest advice.
I love that. That's awesome. Which one you think you are, William?
Oh, I know I'm the one that wants to, I can call myself an investor and start going. But another one that, Charles, you are probably the same, but let me know if I'm wrong or not. But I knew I had truly become an investor when family and friends were like, you're crazy. And I was like, that is fantastic. I live and breathe off of that. I love it when people say, that is insane what you're doing. And I'm like, do you want to learn how to do it? And I love that. I love that. So,
yeah. And you enjoy teaching too, William. I noticed that. Like, I can call William up and ask him any question. And if he don't know the answer, he's going to go look for it. But Ali, I really love that example. And I think of Dustin too. Dustin is definitely the guy that needs to do something first. You know, even like looking at RubeCon, like Dustin, like kind of just did it, like, you know, and like the first RubeCon was like in 3 months. Yeah, mind blowing. Like, we planned a conference like that in 3 months. People were saying, like, you know, Dustin, we honestly didn't know we were going to be able to pull this off.
Yeah, it was a awesome event too.
It was. But it goes back to what Ali was saying. You know, for Dustin, it was better for him to do it and then figure out, you know, the mindset, you know, putting everything together, perfecting it, you know, which is one of the reasons why Ali came on board in the second year to help us get things in line. And so, yeah, I mean, like, I totally agree with that. I'm more of the mindset person too, like maybe because I'm an engineer as well. And so I like to think things through and which is, you know, nothing wrong with the way I do it or somebody else do it. So perfect example. I think that's a really good piece of advice. Well, Ali, I mean, this is always fun talking to you, and this has been amazing on the show. But more than likely, maybe we missed something. Is there anything we missed so our audience can become a breakthrough investor just like you?
I would say don't close off the opportunity to become an agent. You know, like, you might like it. Listen to some podcasts first to see if being an agent, you know, I never thought I'd be an agent again. I was like, I don't want to be that salesy. I don't want to be mailing my business card. But guess what? I don't even have business cards. And I made it to the top 1.5% of eXp Realty my first year doing this full time. So like, as long as you just have the foundation, like William, like you said, you don't need to recreate the wheel that has been created so many times. So just use someone else's wheel and ride on that, or however the metaphor would work.
Well, I think a lot of people actually will help you use their wheel. A lot of people, it's like, that's the great thing about this podcast is all the people that are coming on this. Ali, you as well. We're all about like giving back to other people. So it's phenomenal to be a part of this, because everybody wants to give and is okay with, hey, let me help you get started, which really is one of the biggest roadblocks people are running into is just getting started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And because there are so many people looking to give back because they see themselves in your shoes a couple of years ago, I think the biggest slap in the face someone asking for help could do is not take their advice and continue asking them for help. So if you're going to be asking someone who's a couple of steps ahead of you, or maybe just one, any step ahead of you, the biggest thank you can give to them is doing the actions of what they told you to do and then reporting back. Hey, William, thank you so much for telling me to make an offer on that property. I analyzed, you know, 100 properties this week and I sent out 2 offers. I got 1 accepted. Just want to let you know that was because of you. Thank you. Absolutely. At that point, you are my mentor for life. You know, like, you want to help me. So, but the opposite is saying, hey, William, can I pick your brain again for the same questions that I've had for the last 2 years and I haven't made any actions on? Like, no, you're going to say no.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're so true, Ali, right? No matter what excuse they give, right? You know, oh, you know, this happened or that happened. And don't get me wrong. Sometimes life gets in the way. But I think, you know, mentors value those who take actions. And if you could take action despite what you go through, despite the obstacles, despite the odds, you know, that's going to put you in a stronger place. And like you said, Ali, you're going to have a mentor for life, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you too.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Both of you guys being action takers, I think you guys should, we should all start something together. Dominican Republic. All this, dude.
I love it. I love it. This is amazing. Well, Ali, this has been absolutely fantastic. People are going to want to find you and listen to you more online. So how can they find you? How can they connect with you?
Yeah, the easiest way is Instagram. My handle is Ali the Agent, and that's Ali spelled A-L-I, the Agent. And the podcast that I host, that's The Agent Goldmine for real estate agent stuff. In case you're considering getting your license, you can at least hear what people have to go through to be successful, because it's a lot of work. It's not easy. And then Investify is the real estate investing podcast. But if you have any questions, seriously, like hit me up on Instagram. I'm happy to help always.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ali. It's been amazing having you on the show. And we'll see you at RubeCon next year, right?
Heck yeah. I'm speaking, baby.
There you go.
Thank you both so much.